It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker Fan Sports Show with Dave, Honky, Mac, and Boomer.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast. I am your host, David Gaspers. I'm with two of my best Husker buds, Boomer.
Howdy. Looking forward tonight to Jim Delaney spending his $20 million all for the benefit of the student athlete.
And Honky.
Yeah, and I'm kind of paying attention to the recruits right now, sending Miles a message that 11 is enough players on this team, and so hopefully we can get a few more.
That's all you need for Husker basketball right there. You know, I've been digging deep into the Big Ten rulebook for tiebreakers for baseball, and I'm pretty sure this tie against Indiana that we got a couple months ago could land us behind Wisconsin in the standings if we're not careful.
Ooh, that's tough.
Around the Van Horn.
We are talking baseball tonight on the Go Big Redcast. You know, it's that time of season where Husker fans start listening in a little bit more to Nebraska baseball, and Darren Erstad's team seems to be peaking at the right time, ranked in two different polls now, and seem to be in a good position to make the tournament. Honky Boomer, you've been paying attention to this the last couple weeks?
Oh, absolutely. Been watching the standings pretty tight. We're still at the top of it. Minnesota, Maryland close behind. Michigan's putting a nice run together here, so they're threatening now too. So it's going to be an exciting finish here in the Big Ten.
What, have three or four of the teams in the conference been ranked at different points in the season right now? I mean, just the depth of the conference in baseball compared to when we joined 5-6 years ago. I mean, it's amazing the change already.
It's true. I think at least four Big Ten teams have been ranked now, with Nebraska getting into the polls. Michigan's been ranked almost the whole year. Maryland's been in for a good portion of it, just fell out. And then Indiana's been in for a little bit. So and those are probably your four top teams in the conference. So,
why again, Dave, did we tie Indiana? What is the rule about that?
It could happen at any conference, but I think in a conference with poor weather conditions, unless you plan ahead, it can happen more often than others. And so with the Indiana tie, they actually just simply had a travel schedule where they had to leave the airport at a certain time, and they went to the 11th inning, and they just called the game. So it happens about once a year, it seems like.
So to Boomer's point at the beginning, that extra $20 million that Delaney's going to get for his own private jet, there would be no value at all for the conference to utilize that money any other way, so that maybe we don't have to end in third-grade ties, is what you're getting at.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they had some private airline just to fly him around. That'd make a difference.
Oh,
huh?
If only that could happen. I don't know.
There's no tying in baseball.
Yes, there is. There is, actually. There is tying and crying in baseball, in Big Ten baseball.
So let's run through the conference standing, guys. And Boomer got us off to a good start there. But let's actually dive in a little bit deeper and have a better understanding of what Nebraska needs to do to win this thing, which could be the first conference championship in baseball since, I think, 2005, which was the last time we went to the World Series, and really the first significant conference title for any men's men's team, basketball, football, baseball, etc. So Nebraska sits at the top, 14-6. We have the pesky Golden Gophers looming behind us at 12-6. This is a funky thing. Talking about makeup games and travel issues, Rutgers had an entire series canceled versus Minnesota. I think it was in early April, where Rutgers could not get out of the East Coast because of travel issues. They just agreed, us, I'd say about a week or two ago, to make up two of the three games. I believe it's tomorrow night in Minneapolis. So we're going to play a doubleheader. And so Minnesota and Rutgers plays tomorrow night, a midweek conference series, which is really weird and messes up their pitching, I'm sure. But Minnesota actually has five games to play, so that's where that tie could really get the Huskers, because if Minnesota would happen to win all five, they could steal the regular season title from the Huskers. Michigan 14-7, just behind them by a game. Maryland, who's lost two series in a row, including this weekend where they lost to the lowly Northwestern Wildcats, is down at 15-9 and is now actually kind of really slipped out. Iowa 13-8, Indiana 12-8. They also have at least one tie. Oh, that's our tie, obviously. And then at the bottom, there's only eight teams that make the tournament, Big Ten tournament. Purdue, Northwestern, Michigan State, all fighting for that last spots.
So the not necessarily every team is going to be playing the same number of games then. Is that correct? Like Minnesota might be playing one less?
Yes, correct. Minnesota's going to end with 23 conference games. So.
Correct.
And then is there something to do with your winning percentage that lists who's number one? So like if you played an extra one less game or one more game, you're going to have a different winning percentage, and then you throw our tie in and now we've got some
right.
You know, elaborate calculus kind of, equation going on here. But
the regular season conference championship and the seeding in the tournament is based off of win percentage within conference. You should be playing 24 games. Minnesota's only going to play 23, as Boomer just said. The thing with the tie is that it counts half as a win and half as a loss, but it says we play 24 games. So that actually lowers our win percentage, because it's would be, let's say if we won all three versus Penn State this weekend, we'd be 17-6-1. And so that would be divided out of 24, not 23 like Minnesota. And Minnesota would win by percentage points. Utterly ridiculous. We beat them head-to-head in Minneapolis. And based off of a ridiculous tie against Indiana, we would lose the one seed in the tournament and in the conference championship.
But no worries. You can always count on Rutgers to follow through and win key games. So nothing to worry
yes,
about there.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we may be worrying about this or not, guys, to be honest with you. I mean, the odds of Minnesota winning all five games, the midweek games are an absolute crapshoot, really hard to figure out. And then you would have Minnesota going against Purdue, I believe, over the weekend. And Purdue's actually looking pretty good and also fighting for a spot in the tournament. So, I mean, I think it's likely that Minnesota loses a game, but there's no guarantee that Nebraska can sweep Penn State. I mean, Maryland just lost a 200 RPI Northwestern, 2 out of 3. So you got to watch your guard. Indiana lost to Penn State in a game this weekend. So the Huskers can't take anything for granted at this point.
So RPI doesn't get into any of that discussion. RPI is specifically towards postseason play. Is that accurate to say, like seeding and how you get into regionals and all that? It doesn't really have anything to do with the conference championship.
Yeah, that's correct. You notice, fans, that we're doing role reversal tonight. We got Boomer and Honk asking me the questions, and I'm answering it. I'm probably the biggest diehard Husker baseball fan out of the group. I love looking at stats, and RPI is a stats-driven metric. It's not perfect by any means, and it's similar to what the basketball RPI is. I mean, it's the same idea, strength of schedule and opponent strength of schedule. And the RPI is weighted in baseball. This happened just recently. I don't know, maybe the last 5-10 years. Someone else out there probably knows exactly when it happened, where to help out kind of northern teams that do a lot of their early season on the road. Road victories count more than home victories. It's like a 1.3 to 0.7 ratio. So RPI is a bit weighted for road games. So a home win doesn't count as much as a home or a road win, if that makes any sense. Which has helped out the Big Ten RPI wise to have a lot more competition. Right now, Nebraska is actually I think fourth. Even though we're first in the conference, we're fourth in the RPI at 42. Then we have Maryland at 36, Indiana at 33, and Michigan at 31. Again, really based off of strength of schedule, who you play and who they play and what those records are. Michigan has a really good non-conference series win versus Oklahoma, played some good teams beginning of the year, won a lot of games, winning helps in your RPI. and has a solid RPI because of it. RPI, it does seem, even with that unbalanced home and away, tends to favor the Southeastern Conference and the ACC. Pac-12 struggles to have good RPI, Big West, etc. So it's not a perfect metric, but I think in baseball, even more so than basketball, because I think there's close to 300 teams that play Division I, and they're very different levels of competition, that having an RPI helps out with the very unbalanced schedules that these teams play. It gives you some metric that you can lean on when comparing these teams in a very much a regionalized sport, I guess.
So to your point there a little bit earlier, Dave, about how playing on the road makes a big difference. We're going to be playing a team here on the road this week, Penn State, that's going to be a 200-plus RPI. Now, that in and of itself isn't good, to be playing 200-plus RPI teams, or at the very least, you certainly can't lose to them. But the fact that it's on the road, there is a, even if they're 200-whatever, as long as it's on the road, there is a certain weighted value that we would get by just beating Penn State on the road as opposed to at home.
Yeah, it's better to play them on the road than at home. That's right. And, you know, Nebraska's RPI has been kind of not really moving that much over the last couple of weeks because we've been generally, you know, winning 2 out of 3 and against opponents that just aren't going to move the needle that much. And so we've been kind of been set at that low 40s, high 30s range just because of that. There wasn't a lot of good quality RPI wins left for us after we, you know, got through the kind of Indiana, Maryland, you know, Minnesota bunching there. But yeah, the RPI, I mean, Penn State, it's better to play them on the road. And as long as you don't, you know, lose 2 out of 3, we're probably going to keep a top 45 RPI, which is kind of a usual good break. If you're low 40s, you're definitely on the bubble typically. But the RPI is not the only metric that the selection committee is going to use, obviously. If Nebraska wins their conference, that's going to go a long ways. Quality wins versus the top 25 in the RPI, top 15 in the RPI, all those type of things. What you've done in the last 10, I think all add up to a better story for Nebraska. I would say that the RPI this year is actually one of their weaker resume builders, because even if we swept Penn State, because they're in the 200s, we might get up into the 38, you know, RPI range again. Where we could make a little hay is in the tournament, Big Ten tournament. You could have a draw where you do get to play a Maryland or an Indiana and a Michigan, maybe two of them. And if you, you know, go 3-0 in the tournament, you could definitely work your way into the low 30s, maybe the 20s. I'm not quite for certain on that.
So what would you say, Dave, is the likelihood of us actually winning the Big Ten outright, winning the conference tournament, and hosting a regional?
I like the odds of us winning the regular season. A lot of things can go wrong, but I think there's a good shot. The Big Ten tournament, it's tough, actually. You know, Honky was just mentioning, alluding to the quality of the Big Ten. It's not like what the Big 12 was, but it's much better than it was when we entered the league. I think there's 4 legit teams that will probably make the tournament, and then the other 4 are going to have, you know, they have their own quality RPIs, you know, at least sub-100s. So it could be a wide-open tournament. It'd be tough.
And the tournament this year is not in Omaha for the one off year, right? And then it goes to Omaha until like 2087 or something. So this year it's in Indiana. Is it actually like at the University of Indiana?
It's in Bloomington, yeah.
It's in Bloomington.
It's in Bloomington. They just built a new stadium there. A really nice, like 2,500 seat joint. So they get it for 1 year and then back to Omaha. And I mean, Indiana is the only other school that has shown any reasonable amount of attendance, so I think it made sense to give it to them.
Well, and it looks, if you're only going to get 3,000 people, it looks better to have it in a 3,000 seat stadium than in Target Field as well. I mean, that was you know, that was pretty ridiculous.
Awful.
You know, and wasn't in Columbus, Ohio, I think they had the same thing. They had it a few years back, and it was in a little bit bigger stadium, maybe a minor league one or something, is the one in Columbus, Ohio? We went to it at during the football game last year.
Yeah, I think they might actually have some sort of minor league. They have Columbus has a AAA team. I think they play in Huntington Park there You're right. It's near downtown. We walked by it.
And that was a decent
but Ohio
stadium.
State has their own field on campus. I think it's called Nick Swisher Field after a major leaguer who donated a bunch of money there not too long ago.
Oh, yes.
And that
the
holds
Nick
like
Swisher.
4,000 or 5,000.
It's yeah, the Nick triple, Swisher. It's the AAA Columbus Clippers. AAA to the Cleveland Indians.
Exactly. That makes sense. Well, anyway, yeah, it's a bigger stadium than what Indiana has. So you're right. I mean, I think it'll look fine. Indiana averages like, I don't know, somewhere around 1,900 fans a game in a 2,500 seat, you know, ballpark. So, I mean, they do all right compared to the rest of the Big Ten, where I was looking at these numbers. I think like Maryland, who's actually a good program, very low numbers. Rutgers averages 320 fans per game. Nebraska has had more fans and averages more fans in one game than Rutgers has had in their entire homestand. It's pretty sad.
I'm glad we let them in the conference.
Brought
nothing but greatness to
Mike's
us.
Boomer's pet peeve. I hear you. Yeah, I mean, attendance-wise, it's Nebraska and it's like then the SEC West. And it's like that's who dominates attendance.
So, okay, so we've kind of talked about, obviously, who's going to make it into the Big Ten tournament. And then out of that, I mean, the last few years, we've been getting, what, about three to five, roughly, Big Ten teams, kind of on average, getting into the postseason. Is that correct? I mean, you get your automatic bid, and we've been averaging about 2 to 3 at-larges. It seems like this year, it feels like it with four ranked teams and some good RPIs, it feels like we're in that 4 to 5 team range or 3 to 4 team range for the at large. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if one of the four teams that we've already outlined, so Michigan, Maryland, Indiana, or Nebraska, fails to win the tournament, that would probably get us 5. I think the only team that a lot of things can change quickly, right? But the only team that really looks a little sketchy from a resume standpoint, I think, is Indiana. Even though they have a really good RPI, they're like 6th in conference, which is something that I think the committee does look at. And so Indiana does want to make sure they finish strong here and maybe, you know, get back to 4th or 5th. But I think right now, if the season ended today, all four of those teams are in at-large bids. And then it's just I think Minnesota would be the next in line, but their RPI is like around 70 or so, and so I mean they're playing for a lot this week. If they could somehow win all 5 of those games and win the conference, that would go a long ways for their at large. Because even with a high RPI, that would be hard to keep them out when they win the conference. Even in our scenario where we think it's a little bit of a sketchy way to win.
So, you know, right there we're talking about teams that are going to be competing for those at-large bids. I guess looking at NCAA baseball more in a bigger picture, who's looking as favorites for top 8 seeds? And then, I guess, what is it, the top 16 seeds are the ones that end up, you know, hosting the regionals to begin with. Does any Big Ten teams, you know, fill into any of those kinds of spots? And if not, what are the programs? I'm guessing they're mostly all SEC, but, you know, who's kind of starting to fill into those top spots there?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, at different times of the year, a lot of these different baseball websites, D1 Baseball is a really good one. Baseball America, they do all their Field of 64 and all their, you know, bracketology type stuff. And, you know, I think Michigan and Maryland at their peaks probably were on the board of at least competing for hosting one of the regionals, top 16. But right now, the RPIs aren't as strong right now as they have been. So I think it'd be pretty unlikely for a Big Ten team to host.
Would Nebraska have the best shot because of our attendance? I mean, does that give us that extra
boost?
It
doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt. I mean, that's for certain. I mean, Nebraska averages, we're like 5th or 6th in the country in attendance, and I'm sure they would like full stands. But I mean, that's not the only thing. Last year, it's a great example. That committee completely kind of threw geography to the wind, and most of the hosts were down in the Southeast. I think the SEC had like 7 like seven hosting sites or something like that, and there was not one regional on the West Coast last year, which was the first time ever. And of course, you know, Arizona makes the World Series and goes all the way to the title game. So, you know, I don't think they're just going to throw the Big Ten a bone because they want one of us to host. But I mean, I guess if you really want to dream, I think if Nebraska sweeps Penn State and looks dominant, winning three games in the conference tournament, you have an RPI maybe in the, you know, low 20s range. That's possible. I think the historically speaking, the highest RPI that's ever hosted is like in the low 30s. I think they gave like Arizona State a host a couple years ago, that type of number. So, I mean, it would be possible.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the Southeast, speaking of the Southeast Conference, you had mentioned something the other day about Auburn and like how just the highs and lows and how quickly things can change. So, a couple weeks ago, they were darn near guaranteed a hosting spot. They lose a series, was it, and then maybe a midweek game, and all of a sudden they started even becoming, you know, in trouble of, you know, being an at-large bid. I mean, or where are they at now?
Yeah, it's probably one of the most historic tumbles I've ever seen. I mean, they've lost seven straight now, got swept at home 2 weeks ago against Alabama in essentially the Iron Bowl of baseball. And they lost a midweek game, and then they got swept again this weekend. So they lost seven straight. Even last week's poll in, say, like D1 Baseball or Baseball America, I think they're ranked like 14th in the country. They've fallen out of both polls, I believe, now. And 24th. Their RPI is like, say it again, Skip.
They're 24th
in Baseball America.
So they've lost seven straight games. They've lost seven straight games, and they're still 24th.
They're ranked, but their RPI is 45, and I mean, I think they're probably still in, but if they would get, you know, swept again or something like that, I mean,
they dropped 11 spots.
Can the SEC do any wrong?
The RPI
sport?
Dropped from.
Well,
the
you
RPI
know,
dropped from.
There's only three SEC teams in the top 10, and none in the top four.
Yeah, I mean, the you know, number one team in the country, actually one of the questions that Boomer asked and I just didn't answer. That sounds like something Honky would do. Or maybe it was Honky.
I am 40 now, so you know,
Honky's a man, he's 40.
I'm a man.
Was like who else is out there for national seeds? Oregon State has been a dominant team this year. I think they're 40 something and 4. They're already wrapped up the Pac-12, who is a conference that doesn't play a tournament. So they have two more weekends of conference play. They've already wrapped up their automatic bid. And they've been number one in the poll for 8 or 9 straight weeks, number one in the RPI for just as long. This is a team that Nebraska lost to twice early this year. It has not hurt RPI to have them that high up, that's for certain. Now this is also a team that last year missed the tournament. They did not make the cut last year at the expense of someone like Nebraska, who was a bubble team who got in. Team that's been up there at just as high as Oregon State for most of the years, North Carolina, another team that missed last year from the bubble, who had a good RPI, but had a losing conference record, and they didn't make it because of that. But they've actually been surpassing their own league recently by Louisville, who's just been on a tear. Louisville's got a really good two-way star, Brandon McKay, who pitches and hits, probably a player of the year type guy, and is really solid. ACC's solid this year. I mean, SEC is still going to have a lot of hosts. Florida's going to host. Kentucky's been up there all year. LSU's been on a hot streak. Mississippi State could host. South Carolina's actually on the bubble. They've been struggling. It's kind of interesting. Mississippi will be there. Well, they're a little bit bubblicious too, but and they probably won't host. But having a decent season again. SEC's, you know, it's kind of funny if you look at like the history of college baseball. SEC's been dominant in getting teams in the World Series, but they don't always win national championships that often. Same thing with the ACC. I mean, Virginia won the national title a couple years ago. It was the first time the ACC won a title since '55. Which is ridiculous, right? I mean, it's a baseball conference.
Well, what the hell conference is Coastal Carolina in?
They just moved. I can't remember what they were in last year, but they're like down in the Sun Belt now. They're probably not going to make the tournament even this year. So that was just an amazing run and a great senior class for them. But yeah, that's, you know, Fresno State's won a title and they're obviously mm-hmm. not a Power Five. Yeah, you've got you know, more recently you've had some SEC success. Vanderbilt won a title not too long ago, and then South Carolina went back to back. But besides that, LSU really dominates that category for the SEC. But you know, that's a whole different era than back in the day when the Pac-12 would, you know, they won like, I don't know, something like 19 out of 25 titles or some crazy thing like that. So, go ahead.
LSU is to SEC baseball as Kentucky is to SEC basketball, as Alabama is to SEC football. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. You're
probably less cheating.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, Kentucky basketball really dominates. I don't think LSU is that dominant. You know, Florida makes the World Series a lot. Texas A&M has been very competitive. Both the Mississippis go quite often. So, I mean, it's a little more balanced than the Kentucky example, but it's not far off.
I mean, my closest comparison is like Rutgers baseball is to Rutgers basketball as is to Rutgers football. Yeah. I'm not sure if that applies or not to this. I just blacked out for a minute. Sorry, I just turned 40 again, so I'm back.
That's right. It's tough being a man, Hunk.
That is. I'm 40.
That's
I'm
right.
a man.
That's right. So, you know, I think the Huskers are in good shape. I think a more interesting maybe talk than just like kind of the current status is like, you know, where is Nebraska baseball going forward under Erstad? And you know, this status of Big Ten baseball, Honkies, you're alluding to how we're better now, you know, how can that actually start? And, you know, why are we better and how can we keep that momentum going? I think is a, you know, an interesting topic.
Well, and the Big Ten part of that topic's important because I think it's important that we have a conference that challenges us. I think when you had Van Horn get here, and you go back to 1995-96, Iowa State was dropping baseball from the Big 12, and that was an option for us. Drop it or bring somebody in here. We bring in Van Horn and playing against the Big 12 teams, the Texases, adding those teams in there. It made a lot of sense at that time to just say give up. Let's not try to compete with Buck Belzer and all that. And it was the challenge of the conference, those good teams that elevated, I think elevated us to a level that we experienced for, you know, close to 10 years. If we were in the Big East right now, like Creighton is, where you are literally playing dog turds every weekend, you know, that's there's no challenge there, and there's nothing to make you better. And so, you know, Michigan should be good in baseball, and Indiana and Maryland, I expect Ohio State to be better. These are big time athletic programs. Wisconsin should have a great baseball team. They don't have one. You know, I mean,
that's right.
I really don't want to play Wisconsin in any other sports if we can help it for a little while. Let's,
yeah, we can play them in hockey.
Yeah,
maybe
that'd be fine.
Ooh, that could be we could have a hockey talk sometime. That'd be fun.
Yeah, exactly. Talk Frozen Four. Yeah, I agree, Honk. I think that. You know, historically speaking, you know, Michigan's probably been the best program in the Big Ten. Previous to Indiana making the tournament the World Series a couple of years ago, Michigan had last made it in 84. So mm-hmm. they had gone, geez, is that 30 years? That's crazy. But before that, the Big Ten was a regular attendee in Omaha. It was a little different tournament, though, right? I mean, the modern tournament that we have today that's 64 teams and has this much analysis to it, and the selection wasn't the case. Before in the late 80s or so, it was, I don't know, somewhere between 32, 34, 38 teams kind of were adding to as they went. And there were truly regions where, like, Michigan and, like, Maine used to go to the World Series all the time. They would play in a regional, like a 4 or 6 team regional, and it was geography based. So they're, you know, playing competition against the same, and you know that probably wasn't the exact, you know, most fair way to determine the 8 teams in Omaha for the World Series. So they ultimately started changing that, and it really just got slanted towards the warm weather schools, and it's kind of gone back and a little bit more balanced now because of things like that RPI. And now with the Big Ten, I think the investment is there, right? I mean, if you actually go around the league and look at the stadiums, even Iowa has improved crappy Dwayne Banks Field. Still not great, but Northwestern's really small, but it's a brand new facility, essentially. Indiana's brand new. Minnesota built a brand new stadium. Purdue built a brand new stadium after they had that really good run a couple years ago.
Yeah, Michigan State Michigan's has that nice stadium just north of the Capitol there, I think it was, we drove by.
Yeah, they share that with a minor league team. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State all have like 4,000 to 5,000 seat stadiums that kind of look a little bit like Haymarket Park, I would say, and are relatively modern in that sense. Michigan's has been refurbished multiple times, but it's probably about the same size. I think Maryland's is probably one of the more average parks out there, actually, which is, again, is odd because they bring one of the better programs. I think it's obviously helped that the Big Ten in general, that they, two of colleges they brought in, Nebraska and Maryland, had a following and an interest in having good baseball programs. And then with the Big Ten, the BTN money flowing into those stadiums, they've improved their facilities and their coaching staffs, I think. And that's resulted in going from one bid league most of the time over a 20-plus year period to now seeing three, four teams get in, which if you keep on doing that and your recruiting can start to peak, you know, I mean, that's a good sign. I think if you could get to the point where that's always a consistent, your league champion might always be hosting at some point, you know. That'd be a good thing. That was your primer, Redcasters.
Go Big Redcast producer Skip here. We hope you've been enjoying the podcast. If you'd like to follow along throughout the year, please subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also listen and follow on our SoundCloud page. And if you like what you've been hearing, please tell a friend or family member about it who you think would also enjoy this Husker talk. If you have any questions, comments, disagreements, or topics you'd like to see discussed or debated, email us at gobigredcast@gmail.com. And you can also find us on social media and follow along with the crew as they post and crack wise about all things Husker sports on Twitter and Facebook at GoBigRedcast.
And now it's Scarlet Colored Glasses.
And we're back on the Go Big Redcast, and we are putting on our scarlet colored glasses for this next segment, talking all things Husker football program and whatnot. And, you know, our social media director, also known as Honky, has been busy at the Twitter the last week or two. He discovered that you could do polls in Twitter. And so if you're following the Go Big Redcast on Twitter, you may have answered a few of these polls. Honk, how many did you release in the last week or two?
Well, in honor of turning 40, I released 40 polls last week. And 37 of them, none of you responded to. But we have three that people actually did take a liking to. I'm learning that what you post actually goes out there live, and I've been told by the other Redcasters to stop doing so many of those things. And in
well,
my old
maybe
age,
that's
I
the next poll you can ask is how many poll questions do you want to answer on a weekly basis?
In my old age, I've learned to sit back and listen, and so I'm doing that. But these were three good polls, I think, these three, because right. People actually did respond, and so we even got retweeted, which I hear is a big thing these days with the kids. So.
Yeah, we've been building our following. I think that's great. I just want to make sure we don't burn people out. But let's talk about three of our more successful Twitter polls, starting with one that got 84 votes, apparently, which was a poll about which apparel brand would you most like to see Nebraska partner with? Options were Adidas, Under Armour, Nike, and Wildcard, which I'm unfamiliar with that brand, but I'm sure it's all the rage.
That should have said other, but I typed it as wild card, and that would explain that.
And it goes live as soon as you hit submit. So there's
you can't edit a tweet. Apparently.
No, there's no editing on tweets. That's part of the curse of Twitter. As our president has learned.
You know. Yeah. A lot of people have learned that once you tweet something, it's out there forever, even if you delete it.
Anyways, Adidas Adidas, you know, won that with 62% of the vote, and Under Armour was 14%, and Nike was 23%. And I think what kind of struck me a little bit there is unique was, I think if you'd asked that same question just two years ago even, I think Nike and Under Armour would have ran away with the 1-2 on that. You know, Adidas really kind of had a, I don't know, their brand name, whatever, it really was going downhill in the last few years as teams were dropping them left and right. A lot of you know, Power Five schools dropped them. But now they're kind of getting this resurgence here, this three-stripe life that you know, all the kids are all the hashtagging kids are and the whatever the devil they're doing. Yeah. And so they're, you know, they're getting back, Adidas is getting back into it. And I think it kind of gives Nebraska something unique here that we were the first team to get Adidas back in 95 or whatever. We were the big one. And now, again, it's something that kind of makes us unique, that we're really one of the few teams left. I think A&M and I don't know if it's Miami.
I think Miami
or something
just picked up Adidas, didn't they? Yeah. Like, it's been a few random, but they've lost Tennessee and a lot of
Michigan,
others.
Michigan, Notre Dame, they've lost a bunch.
Yeah, and I think that is UCLA, a good thing, having them as a kind of a unique identity here. You know, Nike, that's everybody. I mean, every program is anybody has Nike. And even within our own conference, Under Armour, that's one of Maryland's big boosters, wasn't the founder of Under Armour, a Maryland graduate. That's why they have all the crazy uniforms and rather creative helmets that we all see and love every week. So, you know, if we were an Under Armour brand now, we would just be a follower of Maryland, which just sounds awful, quite frankly.
Ugh.
Yeah. I think Adidas, you know, I think the retro look is a bit in right now, and Adidas has a lot more of that than Nike, so it makes sense. And, you know, I think Oregon's uniforms are played out just a little bit. I mean, people are like, I've seen that one before. And so, and to Honky's point there, I think a couple years ago they had several duds, I think, with the alternative uniforms with Nebraska, but at least last year's was a little bit better and better received, so they seem to be on a high note.
Yeah,
right
that's
now.
The one thing. They can't leave the alternative uniforms up to the intern to remember the night before that, oh, crap, that's due tomorrow, so let's grab some duct tape. You know, we can't have that. Anymore,
so. Do we know what game that is? Anyone?
Oh, for this year? It's usually against another Adidas team, typically.
Oh, yeah,
so, I mean, point. I think is Illinois – no, they're Nike, isn't Illinois
they're
Nike? North. It ends up almost by default being Northwestern, it seems like, anymore.
Is it Northwestern Adidas?
Yes.
Really? Did I know that?
Right. You know what? Well, that probably takes some fact-checking. I just said that way too quickly, yes.
Yeah, I think you can call that one out, Boomer. Look that up.
Skip, I think you had a question, though.
Yeah, how long is your contract running through with Adidas? Do you know?
I could say a number, but... Mike would have to, or Boomer would immediately have to fact check that as well. So I'm just going to say 7. The answer to that's 7.
I think it's actually up in a couple of years, but they're likely to renew at this point.
What I did see was there's the list of like how much each contract was worth, and ours is, you know, a little bit older of a contract, but it is shockingly low financially compared to what UCLA just signed with Under Armour and some of the other newer contracts have been signed. So, you know, financially, Nebraska is a program that's been doing remarkably well. I mean, we're in the black. We're one of the few on a hand, you know, on one hand, you can count that about pay for everything and are self-sufficient as an athletic department. And yet we haven't received the money yet from the Big Ten increase that we're going to get. We haven't received a larger amount yet from the shoe contract. And so you get those two things, you know, going, and that's a lot more money that we can give to I-Corps, like, you know, Big Ten's giving to Delaney. So, I mean, it's things that we can do for the kids. I'm sorry. It's for the kids.
I should have been more clear on how much you get, but that's good information to know. How many more years do you have left on that contract, which I think Dave answered to 2 to 3?
Yeah, I think it's up relatively soon.
Yeah, I said 7, so, and I know I'm way off, so. I just threw a number out because you asked me a question. I felt
sure
the need
Boomer
to answer.
I'm sure Boomer is fact-checking this as we speak. Why don't we go on to the next successful Twitter poll, which was one that caught my attention. ESPN has a game-by-game breakout through their, you know, computer simulation, whatever it is. And the 2017 season predicted Nebraska would finish 5-7. So Honky asked, what do you think? Are we going to go 5-7 or worse, 6-6 or 7-5, 8-4 or 9-3, or 10-2 or better?
And actually, it was 10-3 and better, but I couldn't go back because of Twitter and fix it to 10-2. But everyone understood what I meant, so it was 10-2. I was really proud of this question. This is one of my better questions out of the 40.
Yeah, and it looks like 90% of the respondents, not just the listeners, Hank, but the respondents, because we have so many more people listening on us than the actual Twitter responders. Mm-hmm. Think Nebraska will do 8-4 or better in 2017.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think that speaks right away to expectations immediately. So, you know, obviously you've got what the FPI was that came out of ESPN saying 5.5 wins, and then you have ESPN actually breaking it down to 5-7. Clearly, Nebraska fans aren't
thinking that. I didn't actually look at the game by game, huh? Can you run through that and tell me which games they had us losing?
They had us losing a lot of them. They had us losing to they had us losing to Northwestern in Iowa and Ohio State and Penn State and Wisconsin and Oregon, and then there was one other surprise. I think Minnesota. They had us losing at Minnesota, so wow. It was a surprising number of them.
Is a lot of that based off of returning starters and the stats they put up in previous years, like, you know, lost production?
Well, I think
I'm not sure it can entirely be a returning starters. I mean, if you look at Oregon, what are they returning?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe just loss of production, something. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out why they're so down on Nebraska. Sure, when we, you know, didn't finish a season on a high note, we did go 9-4. So I'm just looking at, like, from a production standpoint, if they look at that and they, you know, have no reference of Tanner Lee or the hype machine that he is, it's like, well, they've lost a four-year starter in Armstrong, lost a lot of wide receivers, lost their starting running back. And so it's not the ESPN FPI or whatever that had us at 5.5 wins is a metric-driven, you know, thing. It's not just, you know, some guy saying win or loss. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, why it's so low, because it just seems
be a thing. I mean, it's ESPN to begin with. I mean, they could add one guy doing the first three games, gets fired, and then the next guy does three games, he gets fired. And, you know, there could have been four different people, you know, picking our one season for all we know. But I would say it seems a little ridiculous that we go 9-4 a year ago, and even someone like me, you know, again, the 40-year-old curmudgeon, as I like to call it, that is, you know, can be negative about certain things. It seems a little odd that we can go 9-4 a year ago and then basically essentially have the same type of schedule, except now we flip it and start playing home games against Iowa and against Wisconsin and Northwestern and Ohio State, and that we're a year further into this. I think nobody would sit there and say that we would have been better off if we kept Banker and had that defense. So the defense should be better. And then offensively, I don't think anyone out there is saying, you know, we look so much better if we would have had Armstrong running this offense than any one of the QBs we have right now, Lee or O'Brien or Jebbia. So you add all that together. I don't know why it makes sense to say that we're going to go 5-7. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to go 10-2 or 12-0 or anything like that, but 5-7 seems like a really odd number to be predicting us to go this year with all the things that we have coming back and based off of what we did a year ago. That seems a little crazy to me, but
yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out. One other poll you did that we don't need to dive into tonight. You asked what your favorite preseason magazine was. I think it'll be interesting to see what Athlon and Phil Still, etc., if they agree with ESPN's. Because I'd be shocked if someone like Phil Still, who's usually higher on Nebraska than most, but does everything on metrics, also picks us at 5-7. I just would be shocked.
Phil Still liked one of our tweets, so I'm pretty pleased about that.
I love Phil Still. I mean, his magazine is like the Bible when you dive into the stats. All right, let's do one more Twitter poll conversation, and this was my favorite actually. Was OU to the Big Ten? Our good friend Barry Trammell at the Oklahoman had an article talking about is, you know, OU a viable candidate for the Big Ten, and so Honky asked the question: if you could accept any one school to join the conference, who would it be? OU, Notre Dame, Kansas, or other? And the Sooners won with a 60% vote. Notre Dame at 40%. No love for the Jayhawks at all. Honk, what do you think about OU to the Big Ten?
Well, I mean, I've seen a lot of options where they would say they would kind of group teams together. Like, we wouldn't just be adding one school, but it would be two. And the way I asked this was obviously just one school at a time. And OU would be my clear choice out of all of this. I couldn't imagine what that Thanksgiving weekend would be like, where you have Nebraska and Oklahoma playing on Friday, and then you have Michigan and Ohio State playing on Saturday. You'd have the two biggest rivalries, you know, in college football history.
I know Jim Delaney's thought about it before.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he's got the money to make it happen.
$20 million for. That's right.
But that's just what that would do to bring in Oklahoma. I would be completely for it. It would also get rid of some of this ridiculous talk about trying to force rivalries with Iowa, which, in my opinion, is never going to happen. If anything, we maybe would be a rival with Wisconsin if we pull our end of the weight. But, you know, trying to go down a level to Iowa and say that's going to be our rival, that doesn't get any Nebraskan excited. I mean, that's no more than when we were playing Missouri or K-State or Colorado and they'd win a game or two here. That never flipped the switch for us. So, I mean, we need a big-time program like an Oklahoma or a Wisconsin to kind of be that measuring stick there.
Boomer, you know, when the conference realignment was happening now 5-7 years ago, we talked at length about this for quite a bit, and with your Texas connections, what are your thoughts? If OU had come, which, keep in mind here, the Big 12 has been obviously a disaster for quite a while. They do have their TV rights committed to the length of or the media rights are tied to the duration of till 2024, I believe, or 2025. So if Oklahoma would want to leave before, then they'd be giving up all of their TV revenue wherever they went. So it won't take won't happen right now. But if OU was on the top, would they bring along a Kansas or a Texas into the Big Ten?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what the pressure would be on Oklahoma. Would there be pressure for them to bring Little Brothers Oklahoma State along with them? Are they going to have that in-state trouble with that? I don't know. I'm not sure if the Big Ten would look at somebody like Oklahoma State. You know, one of the things
I don't think
Tremel
so.
Talked about in the article was the whole academic side of things, with the AAU being normally of big importance, even though they knew we were getting kicked out of it. But as far as that, would... I could see Texas being a type of program they would like to bring in, but Texas brings its own headaches with the Longhorn Network and quite a bit of attitude on its own. I'm not sure if that's quite the program they would want to bring in here. You know, the Big Ten tries to portray itself as a conference where everyone works together, where we make all of our decisions jointly, and it's all uniformity as far as decisions go, and I think bringing in a school like Texas would probably upset that. Kansas is a nice program as far as basketball goes. It would certainly cement the Big Ten as that. As far as football, which we all ultimately know is the driver behind most of these decisions, well, except for Rutgers, Kansas, they're a dumpster fire. I mean, why they even bother half the year, I don't know. I mean, what's the last win they've
had?
They
don't know.
Yeah, they don't even know what they're doing at this point. What, did they beat Rhode Island in the last 2 years? Is that their one win?
I think they got one
win
last year.
Yeah, that's... So that's a tough sell as far as that goes.
Yeah, I think KU does actually. If there's a very few basketball schools that actually bring value, and KU probably does do that. Texas is, that's a whole nother ball game, and I just can't imagine the Big Ten willing to take that on unless Texas really changes their tone. I really like a website. It's called Frank the Tank Slant, I believe. A guy out of Chicago who really breaks all this stuff down. He's always been high on OU and KU, I think, and I've kind of bought into that. It seems like with Boren, their chancellor or president, he's always throwing stuff out. You can just tell that OU is not exactly happy, and he's laying some sort of foundation for an exit, it feels like, but only time will tell.
I think that conference is on its last legs. I don't think there's any questions about that. No one really has any illusions about it lasting, really, I don't think, past their rights with the TV.
What, you don't think West Virginia is a natural fit, Mike?
Well, I'm not sure TCU is a natural Boomer. Fit, to be honest with you. They're Baylor at this point, so.
Well, I think Oklahoma is, to answer the original question about do we think Oklahoma, you know, should be the team coming in the Big Ten, at the very least, I think we look at Oklahoma as the team that holds all the cards right now. They're the one program, you know, we had our last conversation, the last RedCast was about the Kings and the Barons and all that and how the Big 12 only had two, Oklahoma and Texas. And right now, Oklahoma has options. If they wanted to go SEC, if they wanted to go Big 10, heck, if they wanted to go ACC, really, Pac-12. I mean, they could go any direction and they would be accepted. Now, you start to get into the politics, you know, do they have to accept – take Oklahoma State with them. I don't know how much things have changed now in the college football landscape in the last 5 years. 5 years ago, things looked like, you know, they were going to blow up, and then you start to have certain things that seem like, you know, you could never happen. You could never split A&M and Texas up. Sure happened. And you know, well, you can't split Kansas and K-State up because of in-state pressures. Guess what? They came that close 5 years ago to seeing themselves in the Mountain West. So I think anything could happen. I'm personally in favor of an Oklahoma-Kansas addition. I think what that would do basketball-wise, number one, I mean, Kansas is such a national brand on that. Football, you would add two teams to our division. We'd have eight in the West, and it would be hard to call the West a weak division if you've got Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin sitting in it. And just a side note, it would also split the East-West geographically a little better. It'd give Purdue to the East, which, quite honestly, the East could probably use a Purdue when you've got the powers that they've had. And then what did we talk about for the first half of this? We talked about baseball, and you want to talk about adding Oklahoma, you know, to the Big Ten in baseball. And even Kansas, I think, won it a few years ago. I think that there's a lot of positives in addition to adding a good chunk of real estate, you know, to the conference footprint too, because it is important for the conference to go from, I think, Rutgers to, you know, the Red River. That only makes sense geographically. And then we can bus kids around, and then we can have ties in every sport and bus kids around, and you know, that other $20 million can, you know, go back to Delaney. So
I mean, but do you still think Notre Dame is the ultimate prize for the Big Ten? Was it Tom Chattel referred to them as the Daisy Buchanan of the Big Ten, I believe, in an article last year?
I'm sorry, Mike, that who is?
Notre Dame still the ultimate goal for the Big Ten.
He doesn't know who Daisy Buchanan is.
That's all right,
Boomer.
Yeah.
So
this would be a good time for all of our podcast listeners to Google that and Wikipedia a little bit. So,
and then mock honky on Twitter
exactly
incessantly.
Well, I just didn't hear it. I'm still new to this podcast thing. I've got earphones on and I'm turning 40. Damn it!
It's a good question. I feel like that boat has sailed with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, they're in with the ACC. I don't see it ever being figured out. I'm sure if they would suddenly change their tune, I think the Big Ten would be listening. But
Notre Dame and Texas don't want to play nice with conferences. They are built to be independent by themselves. I mean, hence the only two programs that have their own TV networks, you know, at a major level. And just, I mean, who are the big time players right now in the Big Ten? Just politically, it's Ohio State and Michigan. Look at those two schools and think of how nicely they're going to play along with Texas. How nicely are they going to play along with Notre Dame if those two schools come in there and start to have some demands? You can be the ACC where Notre Dame can say, hey, yeah, we're going to play in every single sport other than football. Hey, and you know, in football, maybe we'll play five of you. I mean, Notre Dame's throwing them little bones here and there, but I mean, that's not going to work with the Big Ten. It's not going to work with Delaney.
Trivia time.
Before we go, I got a trivia question for you guys. We talked a lot about baseball this week. So let's do a little Big Ten history with baseball. You know, it's been a while since the Big Ten's been competitive at the College World Series, but we have won national championships. Can you guys name the national championship teams from the Big Ten in NCAA baseball?
Oh, I don't know if I could give you all the years. I'm pretty sure Michigan's won several. Back, you said
they win one when Jim Abbott was there?
That sounds about right.
They did not win anything in the 80s. Last time they were in the World Series was 84. That would have been with Abbott and Barry Larkin.
They didn't win in 84.
I think Chris Sabo might have been on that team too. but they have won national championships, multiple, I believe, actually, 53, 62.
Did Minnesota have, like, Dave Winfield? And did they...
Minnesota did have Dave Winfield.
Did they make the turn, at least the CWS, did they ever make it?
They did back in the 50s or 60s, I think, too. They were a pretty regular, well, quasi-regular appearance back then. I think they've got a couple national titles.
Yes, they do have multiple national titles, three of them, I believe. Latest was 64. Winfield was there in the 70s and was a pitcher and an outfielder. I think they lost the national title game in 73 to USC in a really epic game where he had a really great pitching performance. But, yeah, Minnesota most recently was in the World Series in 77. Any other guesses?
I'm plumb out of ideas. I don't...
Well, Indiana's made the tournament.
That's correct.
Yeah, has Ohio State... made it. I would just assume, just based on sheer size, they probably made it a few times back in the pre-modern era, I guess, if you want to call it that.
They won the national championship in 66.
Okay. 66. All right.
66. So, I mean, really look at that run. You have Michigan winning in 53. I think I might have actually won one earlier than two. No, 53. Minnesota in 56. Minnesota again in 60. Michigan again in 62. Minnesota again in 64. Ohio State in 66. That's a pretty good run of success. Really since the 70s when they were a regular attendee but not winning, they just fell off the NCAA baseball map. But a good run there in the 60s by the Big Ten. So there's three Big Ten teams with national championships. All right, good. Little education for everyone out there that Big Ten once was good in baseball and maybe they can be good again. All right, let's finish this up with some final thoughts. Honky, you want to start?
Sure. Yeah, we're kind of doing a little segment here now at the end where we just give ourselves 30 or so seconds to kind of chat about something, anything we want. And I don't have anything specific about Nebraska sports to talk about tonight, so I just want to give a couple shout-outs. One to another podcast, the Middle Ages podcast, Nate Merrick and Matt Mosman. They gave us a nice shout-out the other week, and I'd like to repay that favor there. And also to Mr. Dan Swoboda, who did all the graphics for the Go Big Redcast that you see. So if anything is copyrighted or if we need to be in any kind of trouble, that would be Dan Swoboda to direct all questions to him. So,
you guys Uber, hear that bus you... coming by?
Boomer, what do you got for me?
Well, my only hot take again this week, similar to my my opening hot take. I just look forward to seeing the Big Ten next time they get sued by somebody at Northwestern, just simply saying there's just not enough money available to pay scholarship athletes. There's just no money available anywhere to be found. So.
It's all about the academics.
It really is. We're all about the student and the student athlete. So keep sending checks to Delaney.
If you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
Producer Skip, what are you thinking about?
Well, you know, I find it hard to believe, for political reasons, that public-funded schools like Oklahoma State and Oklahoma would split up, same as Kansas State. I find that the government giving them money would say, no, you guys got to stay together. UT, on the other hand, was a different system than the Texas A&M's system, so maybe they had some different leverage of breaking that rivalry up. I will say you should instead focus more on kicking Rutgers out, and CSU's available should you guys want to upgrade your conference.
Let's get back into the Rocky Mountain region. That's a great idea.
Media Market 16 here in Denver.
Absolutely.
New stadium going up there.
It's available. So. Absolutely.
Yeah. Is that right, stadium opening this year, by the way? Is
this
it?
Year? This year. Fall.
It is.
Against Oregon State, August 24th.
Are you going to that game?
Dave, you and I will be in Minnesota.
We have a wedding to go to. Skip is going to miss the opening.
I'm going
to
miss the stadium
opening.
The
Rams' new stadium. It's rough.
Yeah.
Well, it only happens once. I mean, yeah. That's all you can do. All right, my final thought.
Fall weddings. Yeah, maybe that's my hot take. Less fall weddings, people.
Yes. Don't do it.
All right, final take. Actually, I'm going to throw a little thing out on Big Ten softball. My wife is a big college softball fan. We watch it all the time in our house. Probably one of few. And kudos to the Big Ten teams that made the NCAA tournament. I believe five made the tournament this year. But the opposite, a big boo to the NCAA selection committee who gave Minnesota, who was the Big Ten regular season and tournament champion, has the most wins in all of college softball this year with, I think, 53 wins, a two seed. And they have to go to Tuscaloosa to play Alabama. They did not get a host of regional. And even if they could go through Tuscaloosa, then they play Florida, which is the number one seed. So they've given them not only a road trip to SEC country, but about the hardest route to the World Series they could do. So that's just a bunch of BS, in my opinion.
Was Saban on the committee?
Probably. As a side note, if you want to talk about SEC bias, all 13 SEC schools that play softball made the tournament. First time ever.
That's
all
great.
13.
Yeah. Super duper.
It's ridiculous. All right, guys. Well,
on that note.
Great talk. Maybe that's a topic here over the summer is our SEC bias conversation. I think Boomer could go have a field day with that one with stats to back it up. So I'll look forward to that one. But until next week, when we have more Husker baseball talk and more Husker talk in general, that will do it for the Go Big Redcast.